ですね。
I pray that I may speak in the name and to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you buy a new car, do you study the instruction manual? Do you make sure that you know what every single knob and light mean and what every single button and stalk do? Or do you just turn the ignition and drive off? If you've got a new phone or computer or tablet, do you make sure that you understand all of the apps? Do you read the manual? Do you thoroughly understand everything before you switch the button? Or do you just dive in and have a play? I wonder. If you're a Christian, or if you're maybe thinking about being a Christian, wondering whether you want to follow Jesus, is it important to know everything about him? To read every single book of the Bible? To understand every element of Christian doctrine and the entire history of the church before you decide this is for you? Or did you just dive in? Might you just dive in? Make a go of it. Start following Jesus and see where it takes you. I wonder. There's something to be said for both those approaches. A car, a computer, faith, these are things to get on with and enjoy. Not to hesitate, but to do, to make the most of. And if you thought you had to know every single thing about your car, every single thing about your computer, every single thing about Jesus, before you decided to plunge in, you'd probably never get started. But it can be helpful to read the manual sometimes, can't it? A friend of mine about 12 years ago didn't know how to fuel his car. He put diesel into the petrol tank. That didn't go down very well. There's someone who came at 8 o'clock and heard this sermon who's bought a new car and they can't work out what the buttons do. Every time they press something, the radio comes on, whether they want it or not. If you inflate the tyres incorrectly and get the pressures wrong, you might damage them or even make the car dangerous. And if you haven't read that computer manual, perhaps you'll buy some hardware that's incompatible. Or maybe you won't install the right security software and find that your machine has been hacked or infected by a virus. Can be important to read the manual, can't it? Think of being a Christian. There's all sorts of funny ideas about God and Jesus and religion out there in the world. They might infect our brains and start affecting the way we live. If we don't read the manual and look for the nourishment that we need, we might try to be a Christian in our own strength and exhaust ourselves with the hard work of following Jesus. He's so demanding, isn't he? If we don't look to the information and resources we need, we might go through a wilderness time, but find that we give up and fail to meet the test. These are the kind of mistakes or troubles that Paul wants his readers to avoid as he writes the letter to the Ephesians. These are the kinds of trials he doesn't want them to fall into. So he takes them to some of the basics of the Christian life, some of the essential instructions, if you like, that are right there at the front of the manual. And he writes to them about three things: calling, unity, and grace with its gifts. Calling, unity, and grace. He reminds them that they've been called by God. Becoming a Christian isn't first of all your initiative or my initiative. Yes, we respond, but it's God who calls us. God who invites and urges us to follow Jesus. He's the one who starts it. So Paul tells the Ephesians to remember how they were called to the one hope of their calling. Always remember it's God who's enabled you to follow Jesus. God who's energized and inspired that faith. And because God has called us all to be his children, God has called us all to be his sons and daughters, that makes us one. That makes us united. So Paul tells the Ephesians about the importance of unity in the church. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. That's a really important thing to be reminded of. After these times of separation and division, the call to be united, the call to be one, and support each other in that calling. And thirdly, Paul goes on about grace. Grace and its gifts. Now, grace means gift. It means a free offering, a generous act of gratuity poured out from God into our lives. It's all grace. It's all gift when we follow Christ. But we're all individuals. We're all different. Paul tells the Ephesians, as he tells the Romans and the Corinthians in different places, each of you has got something unique to give, to share grace in the world, to build up the unity of God's people, and to help everyone grow, to help everyone know God more deeply, more closely, more powerfully in their lives. God pours out his grace. God provides all that we need. And that's the story too of the manna that we heard about in Exodus, in our psalm, and Jesus speaking about the manna and calling himself the bread of life in our gospel. Jesus is that gift that we need. He's the fuel. He's the bread of life. So, calling, unity, and grace. Now, tomorrow, I guess, we're all going to go our separate ways. Some of us will be at work. Some of us will be doing things at home. Maybe some of us are about to go on holiday. Or perhaps we'll be doing stuff in church or serving in the community. We'll probably just get on with it, like turning the ignition of the car, like switching on the computer. But hopefully trust that God is with us in whatever we do. But it is important sometimes, like this morning, to reflect, to ask how we can come to Christian maturity, to grow in faith. Paul was writing to a society in which there were very powerful forces. There were elites, the emperor and his circle, who wanted to control and manage the lives of all their subjects. He was writing in a world in which there were many ideologies, many ways of thinking, competing for followers, trying to persuade adherents that what they said was true. He was writing in a world in which some thought technology would make life better and better, and in which others thought that the science of their day held the key to the meaning of life. He was writing to a world which, in some respects, is like our own. And so he said, measure everything that you come up against in daily life according to the calling of Christ, the unity of the church to which you belong, the grace of God that he wants to give you. So I wonder how we might feed on that bread of life in the coming days. Make it our nourishment. Make it our fuel and guide. I want to suggest prayer. I wonder what part that has in your life. I want to suggest the scriptures that we've been feeding from this morning. Could they play parts in your journey? And I want to suggest that worship, as we do this morning, is above all where we find that grace and find that energy and find that unity, which is God's gift and will. But we'll all do this in our different individual ways. Perhaps you're just wondering whether beginning this Christian journey is an important or good thing for you. I've been working with someone recently doing something called the Pilgrim Course. It's a basic instruction guide for the fundamentals of the faith. And I would love to do it with any of you if you'd like to spend some time going deeper into God. But I know many of you have been wrestling with all of this for many years and decades. Yet perhaps this moment, as the church comes out of lockdown and really hopes to grow and renew and reimagine and revitalize, maybe this could be a moment for each of us to take a step. A number of members of our church have been telling me about Lectio 365, a daily online Christian resource, giving you scripture, encouraging reflection, inviting you into prayer. Maybe that could be good for others as well. Earlier in the year, a number of us did the Bible course from the Bible Society. And I know it was a really powerful grounding in the wonderful story of the Bible that takes us from Genesis, the beginning, all the way to Revelation and the life in heaven. We'd like to look and see if we can run that course again in the autumn. Perhaps that could be a moment of feeding, a moment of grace for some of you. There are many, many ways of doing this, but the means is not of primary importance. It's the longing. It's the desire to feed on Jesus, to know his grace, to build our faith and trust that he will help us grow, to constantly hear that call, seek that unity, exercise those gifts. "Give us this bread always," said the crowd. "Give us this bread always," they prayed, when they heard of the food that Jesus offered. "Give us this bread always." A good prayer for us to echo each and every day. Amen.